Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Birth of a New Earth Radio. This is Janice Barcello. I'm your host for this show, and I am so happy today to bring Monica and Alfred Schaefer onto the show. When I was live with RBN, I interviewed Monica and Alfred a number of times, but now we have a special timing because Alfred was just released from the gulag. He had to spend another 6 months in the gulag, in the German gulag. And I don't know if you want to brief people on that situation. And you said something at the release time. You said they want us to win.
Yes. Yeah. You know, first of all, I don't look at the 6 month spell as being punishment. I look at it sort of like it's part of the job. It's part of the mission. If you were an astronaut, you would not start complaining about your space capsule being uncomfortable or too small or whatever. It's part of the job. And the prison or the gulag system gives us an insight into what they are driving our population, the direction they are driving our population. As a German, I was part of the smallest minority in that prison. Most of the people come from somewhere else, like either Africa or North Africa or Afghanistan or Pakistan or India or any place that makes Germany an attractive place to be by comparison to their home country. So, yeah.
That's interesting. So the majority of people are refugees that are in
there. Yeah, yes. They're asylum seekers. They are refugees. Okay. Yeah, they are here seeking a place to have a party and a good time. And I mean, back home, most of them would be flogged to death by their own people. Nobody wants them. So they come here because we welcome them with open arms.
Mm-hmm. Monica, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I was just going to say that those people who are coming, they are opportunists. And we always have to keep in mind that it's somebody else who's orchestrating all this. So we have to always keep in mind directing our outrage at those who are orchestrating this rather than those opportunists who come. I mean, they're making life unpleasant for us and they're, you know, that we don't want them here. But if we are directing our rage and energy at anybody, it should be seeing the picture clearly who's orchestrating all this and who's doing this to us. And those people who are coming, they're just kind of like the flies attracted to the dead chicken, right? So yeah. That's just my take on that.
Let me pick that up and be very clear with anybody that's going to be listening to this. And that is, it is the Jews who are orchestrating this. They have what's called NGOs. And the NGOs are being funded by the people who are paying taxes in these countries. Actually, it's being taken out of tax dollars from the original inhabitants of these countries, including Germany and the US and pretty much every other white Christian civilization that the Jews can try to infect with miscegenation and a replacement of the white race. They despise the white race. And this is why they are funding these people to come here. They're organizing this.
Well, better
Yes,
said, we are funding our own demise, but go ahead, Alfred.
let me just say something. I remember as in my childhood in Canada, we never knew what Jews really were. We never, they were something very far away and something abstract. But I do remember in my youth hearing the line that the last stage of the Jews when they overthrow or kill the host population is they throw open the gates and flood the place with barbarians. And the reason why the Jews now have us on in their crosshairs to exterminate is because if we wake up and demand everything back that they have stolen from us, they would be toast. But so this is a bad programming that we're dealing with. But then I say, to get any of our listeners who might be having heart problems right now, I say the Jews ought to be looking at people like Benjamin Friedman as their role models. Okay, often, and I also remember when we were juveniles, if you smash something up or do some damage, let's say you break your neighbor's window, they will say, "You broke it, you fix it." Now, there's a lot of people from the other side who have a lot of abilities that we will need to rectify the problem as efficiently and as civilized as possible. But to continue on the flight path that we find ourselves on is very much like being in an airplane that is headed straight into a mountain range, and the pilot has been is drunk or is on drugs or something, and is in no way capable of doing the maneuvers that he needs to do to save us from that inevitable collision. We are right now on a trajectory that will take us all to certain death, including the Jews who have taken it this far. And at this point in time, there's a small window of opportunity where we can still debate on how much of the blame we who's to blame for what. And before we start, screaming out blame at anybody, we should just start getting it fixed on the basis of the truth, the entire truth, and nothing but the truth. And that goes way back, way before we were born, and it'll continue till way after we die. So that's where we find ourselves right now. And I consider that a wonderful and a fortunate time to be on this planet because it's in our hands to get it right this time. And so many of our ancestors would have done anything to be here today to work with us to get this thing resolved.
I'm reading a lot about reincarnation right now because I'm studying the children's memories of being in heaven before they were conceived and the journey through back into this world. And we actually are our ancestors. The
Yes.
old thing, we actually lived in various times prior to this. And this is the culmination time, as far as I can gather, where evil will be or is currently being conquered. Because and the truth is the one of the greatest forces for the conquering. It's one thing they can't tolerate is the truth being made known. So what we're doing is important, to just speak the truth without fear. Both of you have paid a price for speaking very simple, honest, non-threatening truth. Right, you both had to spend time in jail. And when I say non-threatening, it is threatening to them. Truth is threatening to them because their existence is based on lies. So that's why people like you two end up in jail, because it's such a threat to state the
Exactly.
truth.
It was very, very well put, Janice. It's non-threatening, but they call it, that inciting hate is going to lead to all kinds of things, like lead to the next Holocaust or whatever. That's what they told me many times. What you're saying is leading to the next Holocaust, Monica. But the fact that they are so afraid of this. These words, just words. Like, we're not, like you were right, we're not threatening anybody with anything. We're not going around with a battle axe, and smashing
Yes, and
windows. We're
saying,
not doing all
everybody,
that,
come,
right?
let's kill the Jews. No, it's not like
No,
that.
but yet you then in your next sentence you said, oh, but it is threatening to them who are lying and deceiving and have done so for millennia. And we have been down before and we have risen up before. However, they also erase history, and they are in the process of doing that right now. So it is critical that we get this right at this time, because they are in the process of, if they succeed at basically annihilating us, they will erase the very memory of us and our existence. Because there have been civilizations before that, some, I guess, our archaeologists are discovering very interesting things. That is very suppressed. That information is very suppressed. But we do know that there have been previous civilizations, very advanced, and the Jews, they try to erase the very memory of that. So yeah, it's critically important.
They won't succeed. They can't succeed in erasing us or our history. They're the ones who are going to be pretty. What I'm noticing right now is that, from a spiritual perspective, the frequency of this earth is changing, and they can't stay here. That's why the Queen of England, right? She's a Jew, died. That's why Sor that's why Rothschild just died. That's why they're going to be croaking, because they're no longer a vibrational match. Nobody has to kill them. The work is happening as a result of our creator and the energies of us. Okay, our consciousness, our awareness, our willingness to speak the truth is changing the whole morphogenetic grid. Literally, they cannot coexist in a
I
high
hope you.
vibrational reality. They're going. They're done. And they
Yeah,
know it.
you're absolutely right, Janice. They cannot possibly win. The only thing and everything they are doing now is setting the level of their own persecution for what they have done to us. They cannot win anymore. The latest point in time that their matrix of death would crumble is when we are no longer able to keep the infrastructure up and running. It's when the lights go out and all these people with their artificial intelligent devices and blah blah blah, when they will just have a black screen in front of them because there's no power there anymore. That's the very latest point in time. But if we get it right, then we will get this resolved in a civilized way with actually a lot of people coming from the other side to help us. And those who think they can get by with their lies and deceit, they will actually be hunted down and killed because this is the short window of opportunity right now to come out with a white flag and be willing to learn what the truth is if you've been indoctrinated and haven't had the chance yet. But right now, it is almost impossible to feign the level of ignorance you need to be at not to understand that something is very grave and very wrong. And it is life's basic, innate, in every single life form on this planet, the foundational element of there is the will to survive. And they have crippled our will to survive with all this nonsense about their Holocaust and all this other nonsense about guilt tripping. We have nothing to be ashamed about, and not the Germans, not the white race, not the Europeans. So much of the evils that have been pinned on us have not come from us, but from the very Jews who are blaming us for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'd like to speak to this idea of the people with their devices and, and a grid down. Okay, let's say first of all, I want to laugh because I have Chinese landlords that bought this $800 machine to heat the house. There's no central heating in this older farmhouse. And number one, if the grid goes down, it's useless. Number two, it's totally toxic. The amount of microwave pulses and radiation coming from this device is deadly. Yet they think it's safer than a wood-burning stove. Something that's been in use for hundreds of years, they don't think is safe. What they think is safe is the technology that will kill them. Okay, so, and that's okay. You guys want to go? That's all right. Go for it, have at it. If the grid goes down, or when the grid goes down, A, I want to say they've lost their entire control system. Their control system is wholly based on the cell towers and the cell phones. Okay, without these tracking devices, And without those towers pumping out the deadly frequencies, they have exactly zero to work with in terms of a control system. The last thing I want to say is if the grid goes down, they're going to blame it on solar activity. Okay. I want to remind people, we are the ones that will shut this grid down with our thought. Okay. The sun is actually a reflection of human love. It is reflecting back the magnificence of human love and the power that love has to regenerate life, to warm things, to bring light. Okay. So if there are solar flares or whatever they want to say, I want people to know it's us. We may be doing this unconsciously, but very quickly now, people are realizing those jabs are lethal weapons. Many people are dying. People are going to realize there's technology in their bodies, that they're being controlled because of the jabs, because of those cell phones and the cell towers, and they're going to want the grid to shut down. And the more of us that, you know, because if the grid shuts down, then that technology has nothing, it has nothing to build on, and the body will eliminate it. It's very simple. Right now, it's building and building and destroying people's bodies. Okay, but without the exposure to the rate to the frequencies and radiation, it would cease to operate. It would be gone from people's bodies, and they would not die. Very simple. So this grid piece is critical for us to understand, and also the power that we have with our will to shut this damn thing, the whole thing down, just shut it down. We can do this. Either of you want to say anything to that?
Yeah. Actually, no. I will say that as we decontaminate ourselves from the illusions that we have been fed, the lies that we have been fed, and the guilt tripping and all that, then we become very sensitive or sensitized to detect the contamination or the evil or the bad stuff. You know, like and as we move in that direction, it's like a dog that is following a trail of a freshly wounded animal. There's no, you know, he's got no problem at all to follow that trail. And that's the case with us, with our brain. Once we've decontaminated ourselves from so much of this nonsense, we can detect what's bad, the lies and so forth, and counter them, counter the words that don't make any sense. And that is how where I see us resolving this in a civilized way. And so much of our, like the grid that you're talking about, they have taken it to the point where it is like we're microwaving us to death and so forth. We've taken it, the technology, beyond the healthy point kind of thing. Like there was a, you know, the old fashioned telephones, a lot of the technology is okay to use, but not what they have installed now and are putting up everywhere with these super, you know, the microwave, the G5 and whatever it's called. That stuff will actually destroy us in the long term. And the vaccinations, I mean, that is the most heinous, brutal genocide of against the human race that's taken place since we've been around. I guess that's why they called the Jews the eternal poisoners of the wells. This time they did it with a real prophet in mind. I mean, what did Henry Kissinger say, the great statesman? He said, once the herd accepts the vaccines, they will pay us for extermination services. As they're whining and collecting for a fake, phony, nonsensical Holocaust, a Hollywood Holocaust. I mean, this is so, they've taken this to the such an extreme in terms of psychopathic vileness that this is the burden that for which they will be hunted down and killed if they miss the very rapidly closing window of opportunity to come out with a white flag and say, I do not want to be one of those. I want to be like Benjamin Friedman and talk openly about everything, no matter what. And then we'll deal with this in a civilized way. That's the way that we are striving to go. Now, if they take us out, then God help them, because the rest that are left will have no tolerance for this nonsense, and they will just hunt down the Jews and kill them wherever they find them. I'm just saying, I'm just warning. I mean, it's like if you're on a ship and it goes down in icy seas, I'm not wishing anybody on that ship death, but they're all going to die. I mean, I'm just stating what's going to happen. So that's where we find ourselves in this very exciting time in 2024.
I do think people are going to be going to jail this year. I do think this is the year we're going to start seeing this. Monica?
Oh, there's a lot. Lots of people have gone to jail already, and I could talk about them, but I don't want to talk about that right now. I just want to respond to what you were saying about the grid. If the grid goes down, and so there are obviously, like, in your perspective, Janice, there's the positives of that, because, like Alfred says, the stage that it has taken 4G, 5G is deadly. These are weapon systems. What? These are weapon systems being employed against us. However, okay, so just imagine the whole grid going down. It's a very, very frightening prospect, because we are extremely dependent on the electricity, everything, that all our systems. I mean, you know, can you heat your home without it? Can we do anything without it? Some people that are totally independently set up with their wood stove and a well outside where they can actually pump it by hand and all that, yeah, they're going to be fine and growing their own food and all that, but that's the minority. But okay, so it's a very frightening prospect, but should it happen, who is it that has the brains and the ingenuity to, not everybody will come through, but who is it in general that will come through and survive and be able to do things on a relatively fast track to actually, you know, be able to survive and live if the grid went down tomorrow? Who is it? It would be, I would think that, you know, we're looking in the mirror, that the European stock people, the European people, the white race, the Caucasians. I actually, on that point, I'm getting more and more away from just using the term white, because so many people out there, they that are perhaps not as up to speed as we are on this topic. I'm sort of changing tracks here, but I thought of it because I'm talking about the white race, the Caucasian race. But, you know, this has been a critique, and it, you know, people are talking about this. Well, they just, they think, well, the Jews are white. Oh, no, they're not, you know. So all this, we need to distinguish between, you know, what we're really talking about. We're talking about the Caucasian people. We used to have that on forms when we were kids, like census, it was the, you know, the different races. Well, we were labeled Caucasians. So European, yes. Race. Anyway, that's just an aside. But I wanted to make that point about the grid. It's us. We have the capacity to be inventive and to figure things out for if such a dire circumstance should happen that the grid goes completely down from one day to the next and not come back up.
Our people have lived in cold environments for many thousands of years.
Of course.
It's only in the last 200 that we've become dependent on the electric grid. So we're very resourceful.
Yes.
You know.
It's just that it's genetically overnight. Yeah, of course, Janice, we have lived without the grid, yeah, for most of our existence. But the fact of the matter is that right now we're set up in a state where we are very dependent on the grid.
Yes, yeah. So that's why, you know, very simple things like getting a wood-burning stove in your home, which isn't all that much money, and maybe getting a little, you know, propane cooker that you would use for camping or something so you can heat water. There are basic things that we can do in the event of a grid down that we could survive. And I do think it would be good for the grid to come back up without the wireless functioning, that we could actually intend for just the whole wireless to go down. And without the phones that are entraining people's brains to the Luciferian realm, without that mind control, many more people would be waking up very quickly, because they're not in their scrying windows, you know, all day. So things would change very rapidly.
I'll tell you some of the things that are going to drive this awakening at a speed which we can't even yet fathom. It is the breakdown of, like, if you, let's put it this way, if you have a dog, you are God for this dog because you fill the dish, and the dog will do anything you want it to do as long as you are nice to him and feed him and so forth. And the Jew, ever since a thing called money, has understood how deception and fear and whatever else, how to control us and to bleed us dry. And the agenda then is, of course, to get rid of us and exterminate us before we wake up and take back what they've stolen from us. And just like you feed the dog with stuff that you put in this dog dish, the Jew controls the money. But right now, the money is not tied to any real value. It's just a fiat money system, and they're printing more and more and faster and faster. So we're going to experience hyperinflation, and this hyperinflation will drive all these people that don't want to know anything about this to start to inquire what is causing all this. So we have the perfect storm upon us now. And we are the fortunate ones that have noticed this before all the masses have, but they will all be coming around. And there is a po comes a point in time, and we're almost there right now, where the people who have figured out a critical amount of this cannot tolerate being near someone who hasn't figured it out or is feigning the ignorance, because they stink like crap. It's like sitting with a skunk on a couch. You don't want to be near that skunk. And these people, as soon as they say three words, they'll blurt use some stupid words that expose them as being zombies. And nobody who figures this out wants to be near a zombie, because first of all, they're stupid and they're dangerous, because they will also they're treason, the treason, they will denounce you and so forth. I mean, they are the communist zombies that we would have fought to the death for. When I was young, the greatest threat was the communists, the Reds. We considered them zombies. Well, look at that. Now we are the zombies in our civilization. And Russia has been able to get rid of a lot of these Jews over the 50s and 60s and so forth. After they killed John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Baines Johnson let them in by the score, because he was in their pocket. And now, of course, the problem is in the West, So there's a strange coincidence that wherever there's a lot of Jews are, we have lots of problems.
Wherever
So,
there's Jews, there's a problem. That's the thing. We can't coexist with them.
And
No,
always
we
has
can't.
been. I
It
just want
always
to
has
point,
been.
always has been. But I just want to point out probably their biggest, it's going to be bigger than the COVID scam plandemic, is the climate change hoax.
Of course,
And
yeah.
we talk very little about that, it seems, for in proportion to this is their going to be their number one tool, and it has been for decades, actually, like kind of going back to the first Earth Summit chaired by Maurice Strong in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro. And we all thought at that time, oh, isn't this just wonderful? They're going to get together with all these different countries all over the earth, and they're all going to save the planet together. But no, that was really a stepping stone on the way to what we are now seeing with WEF, the World Economic Forum, and telling us you will own nothing and you will be happy by 2030. And so the young people in particular have had this hoax of global warming and the climate change put into hardwired pretty much into their heads. Just like when we were young, the big scare for us was the nuclear war, and they had us hide on practice the drills of going under your desk or whatever. Remember Bert the Turtle, Alfred? You put that into one of your videos. And so each young they always have something to really frighten the young people. And right now it's this climate change, this Fridays for Future thing that they did, and the Greta, what did you call her, tuna bird or something?
Tunefish bone,
Tuna fish.
tin fish.
Tuna. But anyway, this is a big one. And then this indigenous peoples, this is maybe not so much where you live, Alfred, in Germany and Europe, because you are the indigenous people and they can't argue that. But everywhere else, like United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, all these other places, they are using this United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples to basically dispossess us of our lands, and it is happening right now. We've got this new bill in Canada that's passed, and people hardly know about it, but it's like 95% of British Columbia, that I the province I live in, is not our land, according to them. It's their land. Like, these are
amazing.
The tools. I'm just kind of giving a little snapshot summary of what their methods of attack are now. But when we talk about all the people who are zombies or just have been so deceived, and boy, oh boy, we have a big job here to educate people, especially the young people, because they've been so frightened out of their wits about the climate change, to the point that they sign pledges to never have children because they want to save the planet. So isn't that kind of the ultimate in the enemy winning? They want us to discontinue. Well, if the children are signing, well, the teenagers or the young adults are signing pledges to not have children, my goodness, then that's it. End of line. End of your line. Anyway.
And especially on top of that, the hordes, the hordes of barbarians swamping in, they wouldn't even, the only thing they want to do is mate, party, and procreate. I mean, holding back on families and so forth. I mean, like you say,
Monica, nobody brings that up, that geez, they're having so many kids, because then you're racist, Alfred.
But Monica, all of this stuff is now going on the record, and all of this will be on the table in clear light, and all of this will be taken care of as this goes around. So I say they can do whatever they want now, but it's just going to be so much more, they're going to regret everything and anything they still do in this direction, because we are turning it around. We will reclaim our lands, and these invaders, they were illegal to come here. And that's why they're going to go back home. They're going to go back to their home country, and they can wait at the embassy until we call them when we need them.
Yeah. I think we're not too worried about them having children either, because everybody's going to become infertile very quickly here with all this radiation exposure. So it's the ones who are getting clued into the danger that are going to be able to have children. The rest of them, their bloodlines are going to come to an end.
Anyway,
and honestly, it's not a bad thing, you know, to see the majority of the bloodlines on this planet go bye-bye, because there's too much unconsciousness. There's too much, you know, there's no higher aspirations toward the creation of life with God, you know, and really doing good things for this world and for God's design. This is the critical thing that needs to shift on the earth, and it is shifting. Even the dark forces are doing a service in terms of ending certain bloodlines in this world. That's my personal opinion. We don't have a lot of time left, because time goes so fast when I talk to you. I did want to come back to this point of you saying, Alfred, that they want us to win. What did you mean? Who?
Well, if you look, I just look at my own experiences with what's been going on. And if they're giving us better ammunition than we could possibly hope for every single day. The mistakes, the hubris of their own deeds is the ammunition that we need to wake people up. We just have to put it, package it together, and present it. That's what's been happening to me ever since I started this. You know, when they locked me up with Monica back then, they did it just as they were really clamping down on the internet. So I thought, well, it's harder and harder for us to spread the word on the internet. They're censoring it, so they lock us up so we could learn stuff in the prison system. I know Monica doesn't look back on the 10 months she spent in prison and say, what a waste of time. She learned stuff she could only learn that in that prison system. And the same is for me. So some people, they'll learn in the newspaper that I'm really evil and bad, but actually I'm the luckiest guy on this planet, because I had to go through that, the gulag system, to learn what I've learned. And just like Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote in his book, he says, thank you, gulag, that you were part of my life. It is there where I developed my soul and grew my soul. And then he says, I can hear the spirits of the dead saying, oh, well, you had an easy time. You came out of there alive. But then he says, I repeat again, thank you, gulag, that you were part of my life, because that is where I developed and grew my soul. Amazing. And that's, I can only say, he was dead on. He was spot on. And I don't regret being caught, thrown in again for the 6 months that I just came out last week from my last 6 months. I don't regret being thrown in this, in the bunker, in the hole when I, and being in isolation mode in that prison in Landsberg for a year and a half. I was three times as long as my last sentence. I was actually in isolation mode in Landsberg. And yet it was when they put the boot on me the heaviest and hardest is where I learned the most important lessons in my prison life. And that was the power of subtle signals. And it is subtle signals, subtle biological signals, we'll call them, that drive all of life on this planet. And it will drive us. And it was the same signals that will teach the salmon how to fight their way back to the creek where they were born. It's the same signals. For me, it was when a wink from a prisoner when I was in the hole there, and then the next day when I was going out to the courtyard, fresh air, and the words "stay strong," they put me in a state of total euphoria, and that stayed with me. That was a strength that I carried with me for months and months. It didn't just go away. And once we understand, reach that level, shake off all the distractions, and we look at one of our brothers and sisters, and we know that we have our brothers and sisters, we're on the same team and we're going to win this. All these invaders are here for a party. We are defending our home territory, the blood, the earth that is soaked with our ancestors' blood. And this is what we're fighting for. And we're not doing this to lose, you know. So that's, you know, I'll close
Thank
off
you,
with
Alfred.
That.
Brilliant. Monica, would you like to add to that before we close?
Yeah, well, I was just glad that you brought up the subtle signals, Alfred, and all the, and you also called it in your first jail stint, the 4 years there, you said you had all these lottery wins. And I just love that description of all these things that happened while you were in jail, and they were like lottery wins. I think you had 13 of them in that first four-year stint. You might like to tell the listener what this jail stint was for, and in the video version we can show it, but it's just unbelievably ridiculous because the person will laugh. And then also, I mean, when you said those words to me, almost the first words after we've had our initial greeting on the telephone, yeah, they want us to win, that's why they let me out a couple of days early, you're all excited because literally it was 2 days early. And then you said, well, and then you explained something about, well, you know, sort of in exchange for working 7 days a week. And I kind of laughed because you were working 7 days a week for months. And it gives you 2 days early, but you loved your job, right? You were in the greenhouse, but I've asked you a lot of things right now, just, you know, why you were there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, why they want us to win? Because I got the 6 month sentence for explaining two guys in the prison courtyard in Landsberg where I was. One guy was an Afghani and the other guy was Albanian. And I told them why I was in isolation mode because of this mask nonsense. I always, you know, pushed back on that. They're making an ass of me, I made an ass of them kind of thing. And then I says why I was in prison. Well, for my dog, who hasn't even so much as crapped on the sidewalk, but he's a jumping dog. And I showed him how he can jump, you know. And then the prison guard says, hey, that's a Nazi salute. And the Albanian guy, he responded real fast. He's just telling us, showing us how high his dog can jump. That's not a Nazi salute. But this guard that saw that, I guess he was one of those really feeble-minded ones who thought he could get points by reporting that. And that is what they had put me in prison for 6 months. But it was something that happened 3 days before I was let out of that prison that proved to me beyond the shadow of a doubt that they this is just a game. It's not to be taken seriously, because I explained to a guard as they were searching my cell for a certain letter. So this kind of set the stage for me to do this. They came to my cell, a bunch of guards with masks on, although the mask mandate was over. And then he was standing beside me outside my prison cell door. And I took a look. And there's a prison, the hallway was full of prisoners, so everybody could see this. And I told him, I says, you know, if I was standing beside you, walking beside you as close as you are standing to me now, and I had my finger stuck up my ass, and every time somebody looks at me and looks funny, I says, I put my finger up my ass for the hygiene, you know, it's cleaner there. You would feel so ashamed to be this close to me that you would distance yourself. Then I says, now don't take this personally, but you standing with your mask this close to me, walking outside on the sidewalk, I would have to distance myself because you have that mask on, not because you believe it's corona snakes or anything like that. It's because your boss told you you have to put that mask on, and you do it for your next raise. But I don't believe that one moment that you believe it yourself. So if you were walking like that beside me outside on the sidewalk, I'd have to distance myself because I would feel so ashamed to be so close to someone who that dense in the head.
Thank you.
You know? And nothing. And then I told him why I was in the prison because of my jumping dog. And I told him, you build me a device with a green light is down here, and up there it's green light. But in this level here, you know, the Nazi salute level, I want you to have a device that says red, red, red alert. Because if you can build me that device, you can spare me 4 more years in prison. And I had my hand up doing the perfect Hitler salute, as you want to call it. Hi, my job dog. Dog can jump. And I slowly turned and I had that pose for many seconds, okay, maybe 10 seconds or something. Nothing became of that, nothing. And all the guards, all the wardens and so forth, I had enjoyed the highest respect amongst all of them. And they said, Schaefer, don't come back in this prison. We need you outside. That was the
beautiful.
One voice for prisoners and guards. And that's why I say they want us to win. They really do. Seize the opportunity, folks, go out there and don't be afraid of them anymore. They want us to win because they so afraid of their own stench. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, Alfred, you've got some yellow envelope on the pin board behind you. Tell us about that, because this is another okay. piece of good news.
Yeah. One second here. Today I got a letter, this yellow letter. When something comes from the justice system, the unjust system, it's always in these yellow letters. And my wife brought this letter in from the mailbox, and her heart was almost like, and it says, come on, let me see what they write here. And they're actually telling me that because of my, that they have seen no hope in me to become a good communist, like they're trying to make me by visiting all this, you know, exit from the extreme right, like therapy for extremism kind of thing. They say it's a hopeless case, that no amount of therapy that they can give me would prevent me from committing further thought crimes, so I don't have to go to those things anymore. So in other words, I mean, it's in German, you know, but the way they word it, it's comical, it's lovely. This is the stuff we need for the you know, the reports that we're doing in the future. Like, it's just I read this and it's wonderful. I'm glad they sent it to me. And this is how
they've given up on you, I guess. Hey, Alfred.
Yeah, they've given up. And I mean, every time we deal with these people, I've told them that if I caught you talking behind my back, telling someone, Schaefer believes in the Holocaust, I'd have to take you to court for the most nastiest, foul
defamation
possible. And, you know, but you're not supposed to deny the Holocaust. Yes, I threaten them. If I hear them talking to somebody saying I believe in a Holocaust, they're in big trouble, okay? And nothing happens. How are they going to deal with that? How are they going to take that one to court? This is what we have to do.
Yeah, engage the system. That's a phrase
engage
you like to
system.
Use, Alfred. Engage the system. And one of the things that Alfred told me this before, that, you know, when he was going to those monthly meetings that you had to meet with these people who are supposed to get you out of the right-wing scene and sort of like denazification,
after
World War II, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, you would go the opposite way. You would present them with stuff, and you actually this is what you told me this morning, you asked you wanted to give a presentation to their superiors give them all this information, which of course would fly against their narrative, but you wanted to provide them with the evidence and the information to educate them. But they send you the letter and say, we're going to disengage with you now. It's a hopeless case.
That's true. A day before I was released, so it's just over a week ago, there was two people, a man and a woman, that from the, it's called the Constitutional Police, Verfassungsschutz, and they came to the prison, you know, the morning the warden told me, Schaefer, the police are coming to talk to you today. And I thought, oh my God, they're going to slap something on the table and keep me there forever. No, they interviewed me, they talked to me, and I gave them a lecture. And I says, I want to do a presentation to your superiors, okay? And I told them, I talked very straight, and I says, I told them also, I don't look at you as being my enemy. I look at you as suffering from bad programming, and we want to all come out of this bad programming that we might be suffering from in a civilized way. And so I'm sure that was the reason why I got this letter now, because like I said before, if this goes in the uncivilized way, the Jews will be hunted down and killed by anybody who can get their hands on them. If we succeed in doing this in a civilized way, there will be a lot of people from the other side who will be looking at Benjamin Friedman as an example, as their role model what do role models do? They are sort of a guide for you. What can you do to make something useful in your life? I mean, we don't judge Benjamin Friedman by what he did before he realized it and came out and did his wonderful work. And his work was such a massive, valuable contribution that nobody could accuse him of being a Jew, a bad guy. I mean, he came out of the bad programming and did work for us that beats the work of almost all of the other people that we know who worked for us, you know?
For listeners or viewers who are not familiar with the Benjamin Friedman speech, 1961, and I guess at the Williford Hotel, look it up. You can either find it in audio form or transcript form. It's still on the internet. Find it, read it, listen to it.
Friedman is spelt with two E's.
Oh, okay. I didn't
Benjamin
know that.
Friedman. And he was basically just a Jewish person who came out against the Jews very strongly and what the Jews were responsible for doing. He spoke loudly about it.
And his one-hour speech sums up the entire World War I, World War II history up to the point where he gave the speech, 1961. And it is so well put together. It says anybody teaching history, anybody who wants to know anything about where we came from, how things have evolved, has to just read that speech and take it from there. It is, you know, I don't know of any speech of that length that covers so much ground so thoroughly as his. So like Monica says, you know, look him up, study it, you know, memorize it, whatever. Like, he's good. He's very good.
Yeah, thank you.
So now we have about 3 minutes left according to my clock.
Your clock. You have a clock going. Okay, good.
But anyway,
can
I just mention, I don't do this nearly enough. And, you know, usually at the end of the show, people mention their websites and this and that. And I was going to ask you, please,
share your websites and how people can get in contact with you both.
Okay. Well, the Truth and Justice for Germans.com website. So that's all one word, Truth and Justice for Germans.com. And the four is spelled out. And so that's a website that's got lots of good information. Of course, it's the website that drew the attention of Canada's hate crimes unit of the RCMP. So I guess there must be some good facts on there. I'd encourage you to go look for those so-called hate facts. Okay, and then I've got my website, freespeechmonica.com, freespeechmonica with a K. .com. And Alfred, you've got some stuff. I've also got an Odyssey channel. I've put up a few videos there, and I should put up more of your old videos there, Alfred. Alfred, do you still have WooWalks?
No, you have to sort of use a search engine with our names and combined with the words Holocaust or 9/11 or something, and then you'll get it. I was in prison all this time, and there's no internet there, you know, so
couldn't take care of it.
For the listeners, Schaefer is spelled S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. We've got Monica with a K and Alfred. Alfred Schaefer, if you Google them, you'll find don't Google them. Go to a real search engine like Yandex or Startpage or something, okay, where you can get some real information about people.
Google is Google.
Yeah, don't Google. Go to Google, who's pumping out right now, you know, pictures of Black people who were supposedly the founding fathers of the United States and Black Vikings. I mean, give me a flipping break, people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, don't go to
erasing. Google. That's it. Erasing our history, right? This
it's
is
just
how
trying
they do
to
it.
Confuse people. And yeah, This is why, even if the Jews turn toward the good, I still wouldn't trust them.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Well, I always say we have to offer them a last sort of a semi-safe exit, because otherwise, it's going to come the way it comes. These are the natural processes. I say there will be as much sentimentality in the reaction as there is when you have to puke your guts out. You don't have time for sentimentality, your new shoes, your new carpet. Hey, if you have to puke, you puke. And we are going to puke this parasite out. And but it's like I say, if there's a Benjamin Friedman there, I would set my life on the line to protect him. This is the way it is. You broke it, you fix it. That's the last chance. I say, you're a Jew, come out and say you want to work with us. Otherwise, you are dead. Okay, that's my last words on that.
Yeah, it's a biological process, like you started with, a biological process.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a biological thing, which is why I get a little bit leery of trusting.
Yeah, it's true. You know what? Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I mean, I remember when I was working at IBM, there was a mantra they always told us. Remember, it takes a long time to build up a good reputation. You can destroy it with one stupid move, and then it'll be almost impossible to regain it. Now, the Jews have got so much bad stuff on their record. I don't know. Like, that's their doing. And that's why individuals ought to start thinking about how they might come out alive. And if their work is valuable enough, then they will deserve our protection. Put it that way. I mean, I can't say anything more than that. And you know, that's how it is. Yeah.
All right. Well, I thank you both. I always appreciate talking with you. You know, I love the conversation, and we'll definitely do this again because I think other people
thank you
the conversation as well. So thank you, Alfred. We're glad to have you back amongst the the freedom lovings
on this side the of the gulag
crowd.
Thank you, Janice. Thank you, Janice, for having us. And hopefully we'll hear from each other
again.
We'll
talk again.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye for now. Bye.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS. This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know. How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.